Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. I'm your host, Lily Allen Duenas. Together, we'll talk about the world of yoga and we'll talk to people from around the world. Before diving into the episode, I wanted to invite you to head on over to my Patreon account. I would love your support and I'm thrilled to have this beautiful community space where we can do yoga together, meditate together, and you'll get access to exclusive content. Get ready for some private Zoom Q&As, free printable art, meditation recordings, and more. Follow the link in the show notes to get started or head on over to any of my social media channels or my website, wildyogatribe.com, to hang out, get to know each other better, and find out more about all the support and resources available to you. Ready to dive in? Let's get started. Namaste, family, and welcome back to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Today, I am so excited and delighted to welcome two sister yoga teachers onto the show. We have Rina and Agnesa Mehimeti on the show today from Kosovo. They co-own the Urban Yoga Studio in Pristina, the capital city of Kosovo. So they started their yoga journey in 2013. They began teaching in 2017. They both have a ton of yoga teacher trainings under their belt, Hatha yoga in Crete, Vinyasa yoga in the Netherlands, prenatal yoga in Italy, and more. So I'm so excited to have you both on the show today. Thank you, Rina and Agnesa, for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for the invitation.
For starters, why don't, Rina, how about you introduce yourself first and talk about a little bit about who you are and about how yoga came into your life.
Okay. I'm Rina. I'm a younger sister of Agnesa. So by profession, I am economist. And first time I was introduced to yoga in 2013 when my sister Agnesa, she dragged me to yoga because I was the person which was not that very sporty. I was a bit more lazy. And then always when I tried to do something, then I would always left it on the middle. First time when I tried yoga, we had a really nice teacher from US. She also lives here in Pristina. And she started to introduce with her lessons. That was the first time I could see how my body function or how my body can find the limits and then the way of the breathing and so on. So that was my first journey, and then also search on a YouTube channels to try to do more yoga. So it came somehow, I felt in love, but maybe because we had a really good teacher. So she had a really nice voice and she was beautiful as well. And then she could really explain the poses and make it beautiful for me and all of us, of course. And from that day, everything changed in my life. So yeah, because I'm coming from the banking sector, and then suddenly me and my sister, we turned our life in a different dimension somehow. So now we are owning this studio and running this studio and, yeah, doing something which we love.
Oh, I love hearing that. And I know it sounds like you flipped everything upside down from being an economist in the banking world to yoga. And I hear that story all the time. And I love that when people are brave enough and bold enough to step out of their patterns and their life and the money and the job and then be brave. And Agnesa, for you, were you also in the banking sector? Or I would also love to hear your journey. And if you're the one who introduced Rina in the beginning, got her to go to class, maybe tell us more about you and your journey, Agnesa.
Different from Rina, I studied management, but I never dealt with that. But I worked for 20 years with international organizations. But in Kosovo, we had a war. And after that, I joined to this organization, worked for human rights and rule of law, and then different projects. So in total for 20, maybe 21 years. And what brought me to yoga was that, okay, I was doing different kind of activities and one of my favorite was Pilates. But then and I noticed that I had difficulty with my left arm. So one day I just couldn't move it. And I just got concerned that I said, oh, maybe it's my heart or maybe I'm getting a stroke. I started to panic and then I went to see different doctors. And then when I did some MRIs and some medical checks, they just said, it's my neck. I had to go and do physiotherapy and the treatment was really painful. And then one of the suggestions that I had from our international doctors was that I should try and do yoga. And then I said, okay, yoga. And then I was trying to look the place in Pristina if somebody was doing that. And then nobody was doing yoga. And then I continued, did really a big research. And then somehow we found this teacher, Sarah. But before her, there were two other ladies. But then they were just like staying in Kosovo for a short period of time, like 1 month, 3 months, and they would go back to their country. So there was no consistency that you can go there, do yoga, and then get deeper into a practice. And then we met Sarah, and it really helped because the way how she introduced was that the alignment was really important and was a key. And the way how you keep your body and how you do your poses and how it felt. So I felt much better because I saw the difference between Pilates and yoga, but I did lots of mistakes because the way how, yes, it was nice to keep my body like fit and to work in different muscles, but the alignment was not there and I was not keeping my neck in a proper way. So after I started yoga and then we started like for twice a week and then doing with the YouTube and like falling in love with that. Then we started to think deeper because there were no studios in Kosovo. And we just thought with Rina, what if we go and get some certificates somewhere and then we introduce this to our society? And because of our jobs, it was difficult to take a time off because normally you have to take 1 month to be away for these intensive courses. And one day we just decided to do that. And Rina said, yes, my sister, I think I would like to join you. And our first journey was in Crete in 2017. This is where we did our first Hatha 200 hours. It felt good. It was not easy. It was tough. And then after that, every year we did different trainings. So we wanted just to feel everything, to experience and to see how far we can go with that. So then I did also the next year, I went to Netherlands, which I did vinyasa training. Rina did her yin training. And then after that, the next year, I went to Italy in Misano Adriatico. I finished the advanced 300 hours, advanced Hatha and Ashtanga. And then Rina had also her journey with kids yoga, prenatal. I also did prenatal in Vienna. The good thing is that I did in Vienna, Rina did in Italy, and we wanted to combine to see if there are different ways of teachers, how they teach, for example, for prenatal yoga. And it was nice because Rina gave me some tips of what she learned there, and I gave her of what I learned in Vienna. And this combination like brought a really nice compilation of our prenatal yoga. which we are really proud, and the clients which are attending our studio are really happy with us.
Oh, that's amazing. I do love that it seems like you guys started the journey together, and then you didn't do every single training together either. You just wove together what you were interested in or tried different things. And as you mentioned, combining your knowledge for prenatal, postnatal from two different trainings, that must be very rich. But I loved hearing too how you noticed there was no yoga teachers in Kosovo, in Pristina, and you said, we want to be those teachers that are here for your community. So I'd love to hear, what was it like to introduce yoga to Kosovo? Rina, would you mind commenting on that?
Yeah, sure. It was really hard in the beginning because, as we said, we didn't have a yoga teachers, especially the internationals. They were the ones who introduced us to yoga. And that for us, that was a hard and the first step, because people, they thought that yoga is a religion or it's something to do with a religion. And that was a really hard part to face it. And then yoga is just a meditation. You sit in a comfortable sitting position and then you just meditate, om, and that's it. It was a journey to explain, to tell them that you just don't sit in a comfortable or in a cross-legged sitting position and then you do om. So there is more of it. So we started slowly to introduce the way that the techniques of the breathing, asanas, and then slowly by the year, we started to get more our yogis, like to introduce more into our community, starting with our friends and then friends of the friends. And then each year started to get bigger and bigger. But in the beginning, there were more internationals. But then by the time, I mean, Googling and doing different events, as we try to make different events also outdoors, and then people started to get more interest. And many of the people, which they, especially during the pandemic, which they worked from home, they had different kind of problems, so neck, back problems. We did a lot. We tried to promote yoga online, and we had many interviews to tell them that yoga is something more that can help you also, not only physical, but also mentally, which people struggled, especially during the pandemic. Now we see the progress. Now the younger generations, they started to really to get into the yoga, and then we want to make them to create the lifestyle. I don't know if Agnesa has something to comment on that or to add.
Yeah, Agnesa, do you have anything else you'd like to add about what it was like as well to open that yoga studio? I know Rina mentioned it was some more foreigners and it was difficult because people didn't know what yoga was and they didn't trust it. They thought it was something religious.
Yes, our friends, they started to laugh with us because they said, what are you doing? You're leaving your jobs, your good salaries and doing this. Since I saw the benefits of yoga, I really thought that I could help some other people who had similar issues. And then the word of the mouth, this is what helped. Oh, I was there. Oh, I tried this. Oh, it's different. And then since our country is really small and we have lots of friends, and some friends, they work on TV and radio. So they came and visited us, came for an interview, and they showed that on TV. So it was like an introduction so people could see. And then when somebody would see us outside, they said, oh, so yoga is not only sitting in cross-legged seated position. I said, no, it's activity. Yes, people were very skeptical. But after pandemic, I think the yoga became more popular. And since 5 years ago, there are many people who open studios, and it's not only us anymore. So it's nice that other studios, that the people are attending other places, and it's becoming a lifestyle. So it helps a lot for mental health and, of course, for different physical benefits. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a huge job to show an entire community what really yoga is, because with the distrust or with the lack of information, and as you said, they had this idea just sitting and chanting Om. And also, Agnesa, I was wondering about introducing yoga to men in Kosovo. I'm not sure if you have a lot of women in your studios or a lot of men. I know it seems like almost globally it's mainly women practicing, but I just would love to learn more about the men and if they are joining your classes.
Yeah. Okay. Nowadays is different. In the beginning, there were no men except internationals, because it was different. And I'm telling you, the yoga started here like 5-6 years ago. And the knowledge that they had, it was just like sitting and meditating, or it was some kind of religious thing. But then later on, people, the men who joined yoga were more artists, the artists which are different from other people, like they are more open-minded and they wanted to explore and they didn't care if only women were there. And then this circle started to become bigger, especially with people, like with some men who would call us and say, oh, I really have a big problem with the lower back pain, or I have a problem with my hips. Can you help me with that? And then this is how it started. And then the thing, what we do a lot of promotion on Facebook and Instagram. So it's a lot of visibility. And first we ask our clients if we can post pictures or stories. And if they say yes, then this goes like viral and people see, and this is how they get back to us. And then the number becomes bigger. So yes, we have group classes which are mixed, and the energy is always bigger when and better when there are men and women.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. I would love to hear too, maybe from Rina, about Kosovo. I know some of our listeners know where it is or know a little bit about it, but we'd love to hear more about your country.
Kosovo is a small country, so we are like not even 2 million people in the entire country. We have a lot of mountains, which are really beautiful, and a lot of young people. So we have really young generation in Kosovo. We are independent since February 2008, and our president is a female. That's something also new, to have a female president in our country. We have a lot of green. We are quite hospital people. We like really to invite others and then make them like being in a family. And what else?
I know Agnesa mentioned something about the war. Do you want to speak briefly about what happened?
Okay, I was smaller back in the days. I was 14. And a bit before the war, Agnes, I was working for the international organization. And then she got the information that we were supposed to leave the country, because who worked with internationals, they had been in a risk to that something can happen to their family. So Agnesa took that initiative and took me and my sister, and we went outside of our country. And then after that, mom joined and everything started. The good part was that we haven't been there because, of course, the war. It's really horrifying. We had a bad experience after we went back. We are coming from the Albanian community, because in Kosovo, the majority are Albanians. Then the official language is Albanian and Serbian. But back in the days, the majority was Serbian. And then because of the political things, of course, things, they get bad. And that's why after we went back from Montenegro, because we were in Montenegro during the wartime, we went back in the north part in Mitrovica, which we were born and raised. But we got attacked from Serbian part. But we got lucky that we were alive and we never had any scratch in our bodies. But our neighbors, they got killed that night. So that was the part which we experienced. That was not a war, but after a war, let's say. That was really bad experience, and I hope never to happen to no one. But that's the war, or the post-war, when there is no government, no nothing, and then, yeah.
Agnesa, is there anything that you'd like to comment on about that time as well?
About that time, it's sad that many things, went wrong. Because when you're younger, you think there is nothing wrong, but then everything was wrong because with the entire Yugoslavian country at that time and with aggressors who they just wanted to break the country apart, and which they did. But then the thing that the Serbian population wanted to ethnically clean Kosovo was really hard. Because we lived in a northern part, which was majority populated by Serbians. And in a school, we attended like mixed schools. So it was difficult to see that you have to leave your town, you have to leave your friends, you have to start something from the scratch. And then just to have a really bad memory of childhood. But life must go on and many things changed. And I think for a better now, our country now looks good. We will soon have a visa liberalization, which we are really happy about that because we can move freely to Europe, which we couldn't because we struggle a lot to apply for visa for different countries. So really difficult. It has been difficult to live in our country. But then somehow we find the light and we find the way. And
yoga helps.
Yes, yoga helps. It helps like the positivity and it helps to never give up. Because what we learn from yoga is that you really have to live in a present moment. And you don't need to take anything for granted because where you are today and what you have today, it might be gone tomorrow. And we have to appreciate and value what we have today and while we have it. Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. I think those are beautiful lessons that yoga teaches. And I would also like to ask both of you, and we can start with Rena. I'll ask you both the same question because I ask it to every guest who comes onto the show. It is, what is your personal definition of yoga? What does yoga mean to you?
Yoga for me is an experience. It's experience which I could feel with myself, with my body, with my mind. Experience I'm having every day in a daily life with the people, how I approach to life, how I approach to a people, and being present in a moment. So that's for me yoga, the way to have myself under control when I feel anxious or nervous, so I can slow down and breathe. So that's for me yoga. So yoga for me, it's a big experience.
Beautiful. And how about you, Agnesa?
The same thing I can say. Yoga is experience. It's love. It's life. It's family. It's the beauty of connecting like the body, the mind, the soul. So everything around.
Perfect. Those are great definitions. So Agnesa, I'd also like to hear from you about all the trainings you guys did do. I know you touched on them earlier, but why did you choose to do these certain trainings or at these certain places, or why did those particular trainings call out to you?
What we wanted to do was to really go in the place of origin, to go in India. But as we said, from the country that we are coming from, in some places it's impossible to go. For example, they don't accept our passport, or it's difficult to grant the permission or visa. So at the moment, it's impossible to go to India. No visa, no possibility with our passport. And then we had to search different places. And of course, we had to have visa for the different countries. And then the places that we chose were the countries in Schengen zone in Europe. And we had to go through the training, what they provide, if that is what we really want and what we were looking for. And then we went for it. So the first was Crete, which was approachable to us. And also Netherlands, and then other trainings, Italy and Vienna. Vienna was the closest here, close to Kosovo. But yes, Europe was mostly chosen only because we couldn't go to India.
Wow, your passports aren't recognized by every country. Still to this day.
Still to this day.
Still.
Wow. Yeah. And so do either of you want to talk about why yoga is important for Kosovo, especially after the war? I know we talked about how hard that was and how you had to leave and become a refugee and then come back. And I feel like yoga probably has really helped your community do some healing, or not just in the body, but maybe coming together in a community space and healing energetically. But of course, that's just my guess. I'd love to hear your comments.
Yes, it helped a lot, and it's helping a lot, because the time after the war is quite post-traumatic time. And there are no places here that, like the institutes, that you could go and heal yourself, like in a different countries all over the world. So people had to struggle and find the means how they can help themselves. And then there were different projects, for example, which involved women which were abused during the war. And then there were formed different workshops and groups. And then maybe not yoga as a physical practice was not introduced, but yoga with pranayama as a breathing technique. So it helped a lot, like to have people sit around you in the chairs or in the ground, and then just advise them how to breathe properly, how not to speed up the breath, to take it slow, and then to introduce them with different techniques, which helped a lot for their mind and, of course, for their soul. And also, let alone not only the war, but also the pandemic. We lost many people here, young people, lots of young people died. And it created really a mental, a trouble around the society. And as Rina mentioned, our population is really young population. We have a big number of young people. The thing was really difficult because when we were isolated, there was not much to do. But since there were different platforms that we could do yoga online, that helped a lot. But also introducing the breathing techniques, that was like one of the best things, and which helps a lot for mental state for people.
Yeah, pranayama is so powerful. Breath work and what it can do for the nervous system, just deregulating, calming, causing your heart rate to slow down, everything. It's so beautiful. And I Would also love to hear too, Rena, how do people get in touch with you if they want to learn more about you and your sister? They want to maybe plan a trip to Kosovo or they have a question. What's the best way they can do that?
So they can Instagram us. It's urbanyoga_Prishtin. So they can contact us. They can text us. And also we have our webpage, which is www.urbanyoga.com. Also, they can find us in Urban Yoga on a Facebook page of the Urban Yoga.
Perfect. I will link your website and your Instagram in the show notes. So whoever's listening to this podcast, you can just scroll down, find the links to Urban Yoga. And also I will put them on my website, wildyogatribe.com/yoga in Kosovo. I'm going to include their bios from Rena and Agnesa, transcript of everything that we said. That's really helpful if you wanted to read or find a quote you liked. And there'll also be a blog post that associated with it. Rena, Agnesa, this has been so beautiful. I've had so much fun with both of you, and I'm so grateful you took the time to be with me today.
Thank you, Lily. Thank you very much.
Thank you also from your side. Thank you so much.
It was our pleasure, yes. Really, to be in your podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. My conversation with Rena and Agnesa Mehimeti, two yoga teachers who are sisters from Kosovo. They're also yoga studio co-owners of Urban Yoga in Pristina, the capital city of Kosovo. Our conversation was so beautiful as they shed light on what it was like to open the first yoga studio in Kosovo, how their community responded to it, and how it also impacted their community after all the turmoil and difficulties that followed the war. I hope that this conversation made you want to investigate how different people and different cultures and different communities, they can have different ideas of what yoga can be, such as just sitting and chanting. So maybe this conversation made you want to investigate what preconceived notions or conceptions or misconceptions you have about yoga yourself. So if you're looking to tune into a podcast episode that's all about yoga in Kosovo, then this is the conversation for you. Thank you for listening to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Be well. Thank you for the gift of your attention today. If you feel called, please share this episode with someone who you think could benefit from it. Leaving a review would also be so appreciated. I also hope you can join me online on my website, wildyogatribe.com, or on social media. I would love to get to know you better. I would love to share with you and to hear your thoughts. Send me a DM, send me a note, get in touch. It would be great to hear from you. And as always, be well, dear one. Be well.